One, two? All right, wonderful. I'm afraid of the other mic, so I'm going to use this one. Is that okay? All right. Today's message is the seen disadvantage can be your unseen advantage. Okay, and hopefully we can... Yeah, you got to kind of... Yep. If we can swap screens here. The seen disadvantage, and you're like, what does that mean? The seen disadvantage, is it popping up? There we go. The seen disadvantage can be your seen advantage. All right. Before I start, I want to have a word of prayer. I got a little message, and maybe that's why I'm a little shaken. Sometimes I get worried when people send me messages. And I try not to look at my phone as much before I preach, but can't help it. It's a pastor thing. And Sister Betty's in the hospital. And so Becky, I'm sorry, is in the hospital. And Gary had told me to pray for her. So let's take the time to pray for her and also pray for the word that we're about to receive. Heavenly Father in heaven, at this moment we are coming to you because we know that you are the way maker. And we don't know what's going on with Sister Becky. And so I just pray, Father, that you allow her to know that you're there with her above all. And whatever is going on, that you may be able to touch her, be the doctors of doctors that you are, and provide comfort and healing. And be with Rose as she's with her as well, and Gary waiting for instructions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. So when I was a young lad, I used to write in my pen and my pad. Sorry, that's the little rhyme I used to say. When I was a young lad, probably about fourth grade-ish, yeah, that was a long time ago, fourth grade-ish, maybe fifth. We used to love what was called recess. Who remembers recess? I think we all remember recess. And we were the type of individuals, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Yes, you too, you love recess, right? And so we were the only individual, I know that I'm not the only individual that when recess like was about to come, we kept looking at the clock. Usually it was around... you know, noonish or right before lunch. Some of us receive recess after lunch, right? And get all that energy out. I don't know if schools still do recess. I know our academy does. But they've taken that away also from, besides gym, from some of the schools, which I don't know why they would do that. But the thing is that we love recess. We couldn't wait. Whether it was to meet with our friend and talk about all the cars and the Hot Wheels, and talk, because we didn't talk about girls because we were too young. Girls were girls, so we would talk about things that boys like, okay? No offense, girls. But I'm pretty sure the girls didn't talk about the boys, okay? And so we would run the girls, like the first 10 minutes, we would run the girls, try to pull their hair and chase them, and they would have to go to their, we used to have this slide that everybody used to just gather and meet there at the slide. But the girls always got first dibs. They just got there first before us. They could run faster, I guess. And so I remember that we were there, and there was this one thing, that one game that we invented because, oh, there goes Gary, because of, basically because of this hill that was there in the middle of the playground out of nowhere. I don't know if somebody, it was like a little mound, let's just say, but it was high enough. And we used to love this mound until Big Lou, made himself king of the mound, okay? So since he made himself king of the mound, and on top of that, that mound was right next to the slide. So in order for us to get to the slide, we had to go through the mound. And so we would try to go up the mound, and Lewis, literally, he enjoyed doing this. He pushed us down, and we would roll down the hill, okay? Sometimes it was like two of us. Sometimes it was three of us at the same time. But Lewis was a big guy. Not only was he the tallest kid in class, but he was a big heavy guy too. And so there was no way that we could take out Lewis, or Big Lou, the way that we like to call him. Well, I will let you know how what happened there. But see, the scene disadvantage can be your scene advantage. And I want to take you to a story also of a bully that we are aware of. This story takes place. Let's look up in our Bibles. This story takes place in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And many of us know this story, so I'm going to run through it kind of quickly. And later on, we'll be diving into it a little bit deeper. But here is a story of David and whom? And Goliath. Who loves that a story of David and Goliath, right? David and Goliath. It says here in verse 1, "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socoh in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes and Damon between Socoh and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines." These Philistines were just these bullies, you know. They just did not leave. They were like, basically, when it came to the Israelites, they were their number one, I guess you can say, enemy. They were just a group of individuals to be reckoned with. It's just they always found a way to just kind of be all in the face of the Israelites. And the Israelites, you know, they didn't want any problems. You know, they just wanted to rule over their land and be, you know, just fine. But the Philistines weren't like that. They wanted to rule everything and reap what, you know, and just take whatever they want. And so that is kind of like the story, right? That side of the story of the Israelites, of who the Philistines were. They wanted to conquer their land. They wanted to split Judah, okay? They wanted to split Israel. And they still do, yes. And so the Philistines occupied on one hill and the Israelites on another with the valley between them. I had the privilege to actually be there. And that is what this picture is all about. As we see in this corner over here to your left, that is actually the hill where the Philistines were at. And then this hill right here might have been where the actual Israelites were at. And then this picture right here is the valley. So as we can see here in the middle, that's the valley where maybe David and Goliath, where basically it says that the Israelites drew the battle line. Okay, they're like, hey, if you cross here, we'll attack you, or if you, you know, vice versa. And so this is where they drew the line. Now, they knew whoever was to come down from the hill, you know, was going to lose the battle. The hill was what? Was their advantage. Being on top of the hill was the advantage. Kind of like Big Lou. He knew that the hill was the advantage. Whoever was on the hill was the advantage. And so no one really wanted to deal with this because they knew they were going to lose a lot of men. And so for them, it was a battle to be reckoned with. Now, near in there, you can also see, I put this picture in here because there was, at one point, given by the tour guide that we were with, he stated that there was, at one point, a little brook or a brook that flowed through there. And actually, when it rains, that brook does appear, which is pretty cool. I thought that was pretty amazing, just being there in the middle of probably where this battle took place. One of my favorite stories, David and Goliath, right? And so this is actually Gath. Why Gath? Well, Gath was where was this Philistine in particular. We're going to talk about Goliath. That's where he was from. It is stated that in this city, there is a lot of tall people. There's a lot of people that, you know, have measurable height, you know. And so, yes, Gath is still in existing today. So this story is as real as it gets. As a matter of fact, Southern Adventist University, where I'm from, where I graduated from, they actually discovered some artifacts from David's kingdom, from his time. And it's pretty amazing that the museum there, if you ever get to go to Southern in Tennessee, because you can see everything that they collected. And it proves that David was a real king, okay, for the Israelites. You know, you could take that for that what it's worth, but I thought that was pretty cool. And so it says here, if we want to continue reading, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was very tall. If I can get Doug, can you please come here? It says he was X cubit feet tall and whatnot, but basically in our measurements of American measurements here, because we're the only ones that measure with inches and feet. Everybody does meters.
They'll come around,
right? Who do they think they are? So Doug is the grandfather. I know you probably already know this, but let's just see. So Doug is, if you can just hold that there. He's about, is it 6'2"? You say 6'2"?
At least
6'2". All right. So it says the Bible in our measurement that he was 9'6" roughly. Okay. So if you're 6'2", if we do the math here, okay, but basically he was about yay tall. That's a big guy. Now I was gonna try to show this with brother Brendan, because Brendan's 6'8", but you can still see how tall he was. Okay, thank you very much for that illustration. So my brother was tall. Goliath was a big dude, okay? He was a big man. I mean, that's pretty tall. Now, David was probably 3 inches taller than me, okay? And so that you can see the comparison there. Now, he was a champion, it says here. And basically, he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scaled armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels, about 125 pounds, just to put it in perspective. So his armor alone weighed about 125 pounds. That's basically what I used to weigh when I was back in my 20s. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what I would wear. Not good. But basically, he's carrying Jomar around me. Okay? And his javelin and his sword, I mean, you're talking about nine, that just the head alone was about 9 pounds, okay? The top of that spear and all that. So you're talking about this man was equipped, all right? He wasn't your regular Joe, all right? He, when it came to the Philistines, he probably stood out from the rest, all right? Now it says here that Goliath stood, in verse 8 says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. What did he shout? Why? I mean, he had a loud voice. He had a loud voice, my friends. And so he shouted to the Israelites, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, he will become your subjects. If I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. See, the Philistines, that's what they love. They love to, you know, they wanted to live the life, right? They didn't want to work, I guess you can say. And so they wanted others to serve them. And so this Philistine, who is from Gath, he probably, if he was a champion, that means that he was constantly, since he was a little child, or probably a big child because he was tall, I mean, basically he was taught how to fight. He was taught to be a champion. This is like your alpha male, okay? And I can imagine that he stood over all of his peers. And I can imagine that he was very secure, right? He was very secure in himself. Amen? And so, the battle begins. He confronts the Israelites. The Israelites, as we know, they were shaking in their boots, right? Even though they didn't have boots, probably the sandals. They were shaking in their sandals. And didn't know what to do with this guy because what? Basically, it was like walking into what? It was walking to your own grave, right? It was like walking to your own grave. How many of us would walk into our own grave? I don't think many of us would do that. And so here is Goliath, and he's the story goes on, and you guys can read for yourselves there, but the story goes on that he continues for a long time doing this. And finally, as they're getting a little bit more antsy, what happens, my friends? Dun, 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 dun. Here comes whom? David. Now, David was minding his own business, right? Because he was attending some sheep at his father's house. He was doing his thing at his father's house. And his father's like, hey, listen, I need you to go do a run for me. Your brothers, they're back at the camp. You know, they're about to face battle. And, you know, honestly, we need to get them some bread. We need to get them some, you know, some meal, some grain. And so I need you to get this milk over to them. And so go get the Mercedes and go drive down over there. You know, the 400 horsepower there. Whoa, so he drives down there. He parks there. He gets off the vehicle. I'm pretty sure he has some help. Hey, can you help me out here? And they grab all, you know, pounds of weed and all that stuff, the grains and all that stuff. And so in the meantime, David was being a little bit nosy because he was probably looking for his brothers. And he's looking around. He's like, where's my brothers? Where are my brothers? Well, his brothers were doing what everybody else was doing, hiding from Goliath. And it just happened to be that Goliath comes out for the 110th time probably and says, who wants to fight me? Who wants to head up? Who wants to battle me? Who wants to go mano a mano? And at that particular moment, he also most likely defiled, you know, the name of God and all that. And said, oh, who's your God? What God, type of God is this? A bunch of scary cats. And at that particular moment, David heard all this. Plus, as David was waiting around and hearing all this, he hears these two guards talking about some prize money, right? Hey, listen, basically, it boils down to this, my friend. If we go in faith, maybe you and I can face Goliath, and we split the money. Because, and I'm just imagining how this conversation could have gone, and them thinking of ways, right? And as they were thinking about the prize, which was number one, you get to have the daughter of the king, and then number two, you get some taxes written off. You know, you don't have to worry about taxes. You don't have to worry about, you know, land. You don't have to worry about riches. You also have some riches. And that sounds pretty good. And David hears this, and he's like, I want in. I want in. And so the word says, the Bible says that this word about him wanting to go and fight Goliath gets all the way to Saul. Now, Saul wasn't no small guy either. Saul was actually pretty tall as well. If we read scriptures, it says that he was above his peers as well. So why wasn't Saul going and fighting this individual? Why wasn't Saul going and fighting this battle? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But here he invites David to come in. David comes in, says, listen, Saul, I got to take care of this guy. You know, let me go fight him. Let me at him. And Saul looks at him. He's like, aren't you that boy? You're just a boy. I mean, you're just a kid. What can a kid do? What can a young kid do? What can you do? Emma, what can you do? You're just a kid, right? Guys, we got to be careful sometimes of saying that, right? When our youth want to do something for the name of the Lord, we gotta support them, amen? Well, that's what Saul did. Saul said, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I like that. I like your spirit. But listen, I just can't get over it. I mean, you kind of, you know, you're just a twig. You only weigh 125. I mean, he carries you on his back, basically. And so I was like, no, but listen, I done some pretty amazing things. He says, listen, I've been able to kill some bears. I've been able to kill some lions. As a matter of fact, I went to the lion's mouth and I ripped open his mouth, and I took my sheep back. Oh, okay. All right. And so he says, well, listen, since you're going to battle this individual, you're going to need some equipment. Let's arm you up. And so he puts on the armor. Remember, he puts on the armor. And so we all know this story, right? We're familiar with the story. He tries on the armor, and what happens? Right? Because us adults, sometimes we do that to our young people. We want them to be what? like us before we let them do whatever they need to do in the name of Jesus. And we're like, no, you got to look like us. You got to be like us. And Saul says, and David says, this is not me. This is not who I am. I don't know how to use this armor of yours. See, because we all have different armor, believe it or not. Doug has some weaknesses that I don't have, and I have some weaknesses that he doesn't have. We all need armor, but it's all different for each and one of us. We all have our weaknesses. And so David was like, I can't walk in this. I can't do anything in this. Not only, it's probably was a little too big for him anyways. So he takes it off. He goes, I'll use what I have. The tools that God has given me, I'll use that. And so the story goes on. He goes out there. He confronts Goliath. He runs towards him, slings his stone, and just hits Goliath, and Goliath falls, right? He comes over, slices his head, right? We know the story, right? Very awesome story, and we call it David and Goliath. As a matter of fact, we use that term to discuss, to kind of talk about the nuance of what? Overcoming, right? Overcoming your obstacles in life. We talk about David and Goliath. It's a nuance that people use, right? David and Goliath, you know, whether it's an underdog. We love the especially here in America, we love the underdog theme, right? David and Goliath, you know. We will rock you, right? And so we use all that, right? We love a happy ending story. That's just the way it is. But we always say that David had the what? Disadvantage. He was what? Almost 2 feet, 4 feet smaller, roughly 3.5 feet smaller than Goliath, right? He didn't have the same equipment. He was raising some sheep. He wasn't a soldier, right? But here he is. He's brave. He goes on and he defeats Goliath. Now, the thing is that I want to be here is who really had the advantage? When it comes down to it, who really had the advantage? David or Goliath? David or Goliath? Well, normally we would think that Goliath being the stronger and the big one, right? Big guy, we say Goliath had the advantage. But let's talk about David, the shepherd boy, the little nice shepherd boy, okay? So I want to suggest to you some things that maybe you haven't heard or maybe you heard. But I want to suggest that David the shepherd boy has some advantages that Goliath didn't see coming. Number one, we have to remember a couple chapters back from that David was chosen by whom? By God, right? Samuel went to the house of David, right? Chose him. Out of all his brothers, 8 brothers in total, chose him to be the what? The next what, guys? The next king. The shepherd boy, the one that they were like, oh, yeah, we do have one, the lost one. So that's a positive on David's side already. That's 1 point for David. Number two, what's number two? David had developed a very... I guess you can say a very good skill, for lack of a better word, but a skill that not a lot of people had. But if you did have it, it was a plus to the army. See, an army had 3 different types of men that fought in the army. You had the cavalry, those that ride the horses, right? And there was an advantage to that. There was the infantry, those that fought hand-to-hand combat, right? Right there in my face, boom, bam, bam, right? And then you had, guess what you had after that? You had the archers. You had the slingers. Those that used their slingshots. And so David developed this skill using his slingshot. Now, it was not one of those little slingshots that you know, we get, you know, when we're kids or we make up. I remember taking a stick when I was a little kid, putting a nail in front of it, and then with that have a long rubber band and then put a dry pin or whatever, post pin, thank you. And then you put the rubber band there, and then you could put like a little piece of rock or whatever, and then you pull it back, and then you let go of that, and it just flew. Sometimes I might have gotten lucky and broke a window or two or whatever I was doing, you know, get myself in trouble. Confessions of a pastor today. But this is not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an actual weapon that use a certain type of velocity, okay? And these individuals that use this weapon, it was so precise that rumor has it that they can actually fire within 200 yards and kill their target, or at least injure them really bad. And you're like, what? A little pebble? Like, kill somebody? Well, it wasn't really a little pebble. When I was over there in Israel, as our tour guide was talking to us, he was like, all right, guys, go ahead and pick a stone that David would have used. And so we started picking. We're looking for these nice, smooth little rocks, you know, thinking that he might have, it says, you know, he picked up smooth rocks. So we're thinking like pebbles, you know, something that was smooth. And so we all came up with we're like, oh, yes. And we're just comparing our rocks and stuff like that. And it was just hilarious because he goes, okay, guys, drop all that. That's not the size of the rock that they actually used. And so he says, as a matter of fact, the size of rock that David would have used for his slingshot wouldn't have been one even the size of a golf ball. It would have been a little bit bigger than a golf ball. Not as big as a tennis ball, but a little bit bigger than a golf ball. And so I had my son go out and take, I had some original rocks with him, but I forgot to bring them. But it was a rock normally like about this size or a little bit bigger than this. Now, the beautiful thing is that it wasn't just about the rock, per se, in the sense of size. Size really didn't matter. What really mattered was that these rocks in this area were a lot denser than your normal rocks that you see around here. So, and the rock being denser, with that type of velocity, okay, the impact that it would have had and the speed that it would be going to, it would be probably about as fast as a gun, maybe like a 40, what do you call that? A 40, oh man. 44 Magnum. What do you say? 44 Magnum. Thank you. That's what I was thinking about. And so that's pretty impressive. And to shoot it at a very close range, that's even more impressive because that means it would have killed, the chances of him killing Goliath would have been a lot higher. The other thing that David was able to do that that he didn't see coming was that he was quick in his feet. And what happened with the reason being is because if he was going to chase a lion or chase a bear, he had to be pretty fast. Not only that, but I imagine that he used guerrilla-type warfare. I'm pretty sure that as he was slinging, he probably didn't want the lion or the bear to see him right away. Hence, the lion and the bear could have reacted, had quicker reflexes, and killed David right away. So what ended up happening, guys? Well, David had the advantage of what I call his guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla warfare. So not only did he have an anointing, not only did he have the weapon, but he also had the tactic to attack. He had the quickness to attack. And so as we're looking at this, my friends, it looks like David might have an advantage versus Goliath. Goliath may not have been the warrior that we think he is. Why? Because although he was big and everything like that, sometimes what you see could be your disadvantage in life. Sometimes that happens, right? We're seeing something and we just think it has to be, or we become tunnel vision when problems come. And so Goliath has some issues, and I want to talk about that because we sometimes miss these little points. And because of time, I can't really go into scripture, but you can read for yourself. Number one, he has something called, most likely, that a lot of giants get. He has something called acromegaly, okay, which is a disorder in the pituitary gland that produces too much growth hormone and is usually caused by a non-cancerous tumor. Okay, so Why does that matter? Why does that matter? Well, number one, especially for my tall people here that play probably sports, especially like if you play basketball or something that was very intense, most likely there's pain in your joints, you know, with time. If you see the basketball players, once they sit down, they put ice right away on their knees and their joints because they hurt over time. And so there's this physical deformity, right? One of the things that I also noticed was that there was a vision disorder. And so why is this all important? Well, as we read the story, right, Goliath came out. Who was in front of Goliath when he was coming down the hill? There was an armor man. Why would such a giant need somebody to carry his shield? Wasn't he strong enough? Well, it suggested that he had a vision disorder because he had acromegaly. Okay? He had a vision disorder. It is suggested that he had probably already, for all the battles that he's already had some problems with his knees and walking. Hence, he was walking slowly to the bottom, and he needed to be guided because he was had a vision disorder. He probably didn't see very well. We also know that he probably didn't see very well because when David comes to him, David is carrying it says that David carried his staff and what? And his sling, right? And a couple of stones, right? And his little package, right? Well, when he approaches Goliath says, "You send me this little dog," right? He's referring to he's jealous of David because David was, even though he was a little dog, he was handsome. And he was ruddy and he was quick. And he's like, "You send me this guy?" And there was one thing that I looked there. He says, you come at me with sticks, plural. Now, we know that he only had what? One staff. He didn't have two or three. He came at him with one staff. And so, with that being said, we can say that he probably did have a vision disorder. Another reason why he might have had a vision disorder is because his reaction was pretty late. As David was approaching him quickly and going around. Now, if you know that someone is approaching you quickly, okay, and you know that they're about to throw something at you with their sling, okay, in this case, what would you do? Most likely you would try to duck. Thank you, somebody said it. You would try to duck or hide behind your what? Your shield. But because he was vision impaired and his movement was slow, and I laugh because at my age, as I play my son one-on-one basketball, it takes me about 3 games to loosen up, you know? And so I can imagine that he was trying to loosen up, you know, trying to get ready for the fight. And here comes David. David had no business fighting hand-to-hand combat, my friends. He was not thinking that way. He was thinking what? I'm going to take this dude out my way, not the way that, you know, that Goliath was. So already Goliath was what? At a disadvantage. Another thing that I was looking up was Goliath, his name. Goliath's name in Hebrew is Goliath, which possibly derived from the word or the meaning uncover or reveal. Look how, I don't know, this is amazing to me. As I was looking into this, like, wait a minute. So where did Goliath get hit, my friends? Right here in the forehead, between the eyes, right? I mean, perfect shot. So what did Goliath uncover? Probably why he was angry or upset or laughing at this little David. What did he uncover? His forehead. He took off his helmet. As I studied the helmets and what they might have used, this is actually a little bit more advanced, but it was similar. Most helmets had a covering in the middle of some sort to protect their nose and up all the way up. So his very own name really described his own fate, right? Uncover. My friends, the seen disadvantage can be your seen advantage today. Something that Gary has said. This is all good and dandy, right? This is all good that we can say that in reality, David had the advantage. Knowing his situation, he's like, listen, I'm going to take this guy out. He didn't think about of all the armor that this man had. He didn't think about anything else. He just knew that he was basically blaspheming the name of God, okay, and his people. And he just wanted to take action. He didn't want to fall asleep on this. He did what he had to do. As a matter of fact, in verse, I want to read two things where he had the advantage. The first one was when Saul dressed him up. Look what he said here. After he describes basically what he has done to the animals, to the lion, he says, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." And he says, "Because he has defied the armies of the living God." Verse 37 says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Number one, even though that he knew that he could have defeated Goliath because he'd done this to other animals, who did he put first? He put God first. He gave credit to God. The second part was that he used that same analogy when he confronted Goliath. And verse 47 says, "All those gathered here will know that this is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is whose? It is the Lord." That's verse 47. It is the Lord, my friends, who saves. It is the Lord, and he will give all of you into our hands. Amen? So, the seeing disadvantage here actually turned out to be the advantage for young David. Okay? It was his seen advantage. He saw the advantage. Listen, I'm pretty sure that he loved Saul. Okay? He heard these two individuals talk. Now think about it. He had this motivation. He heard these two individuals talk about this opportunity. And because the Holy Spirit speaks speaks to someone's heart, not only was look how everything was just put into place. He saw this advantage. He's like, "Listen, I'm when it comes to my brothers, I'm the last one to receive any type of heritage, right? I'm the last one. I'm not going to receive anything. This is my opportunity to make a name for myself," right? He probably could have thought that way. He probably could have said, "You know what? If maybe I defeat this Goliath, maybe this is the way that God wants to use me so I could be the next king. I'll be a prince for a while. Saul dies, and then I become a king," right? He could have thought this way. This could have been his process. But I really doubt that that was the process of David, because he was a man that sought after God's heart, very own heart. And his number one thing was to defend the name of God. Now, he didn't have, like Goliath, the helmet. What does helmet stand for in the Bible for us Christians? What is the helmet? Does anybody know? Salvation. Salvation. Although Goliath lost his salvation, David gained his, because he had the right helmet on, the spiritual helmet of salvation on. And it is God who saved him. He himself proclaimed it. He prophesied it. And it came true just the way that he said it. Because he had God in his life. God as number one. So I encourage you today, as I finish the story here. You know, Lewis, Big Lou, he was there on the mountaintop for a while. And he kept tumbling us every day. This was just like Lewis was defeating us. And one day, I saw a weakness in him. As I saw two of the kids, they hit him a little bit in the legs, and he lost a little bit of balance. So I waited for the perfect time when he wasn't paying too much attention, and I ran all my might. And I hit Lewis in the legs. And this man, or this boy, big boy, came tumbling down the hill. And now your pastor was the king of the hill. But that lasted like 2 seconds, because I only weighed a buck. You know, it only lasted 2 seconds, you know. I had victory for like 2 seconds. The good thing was that we all shared the hill after that, because Lewis was pretty embarrassed. you know, we all have disadvantages, it's true. We all have our moments in which we face our Goliaths. And it may seem that we may not be able to defeat them. It may seem that we have the disadvantage, right? That's the way it looks like sometimes. But please remember this story, because the reality is that it can be your, this disadvantage can actually be your seen advantage. Just like David didn't probably put all these calculations and everything together, he just believed in the one that could liberate him. He believed in the one that liberated him in the past, and he believed that one that liberated him in the past can liberate him in the future. And I believe that he does the same thing with us as well. So Zakar, don't forget, but remember. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be able to see some details where we can see clearly that David didn't have the disadvantage as we all may think. He wasn't really the underdog. The underdog was really Goliath. Not because David was smarter or used his tactics or anything like that, but because he completely relied on you. His faith was one to pretty much admire to a certain extent, because he loved you dearly, Father, and he trusted in you. Father, we need that same faith, that faith that Jesus has as well. We fall short of your glory. We know that we have obstacles and problems that come up all the time. But I pray, Father, that somehow, some way, we can always see that we have the advantage because you are on our side. We love you, Father. And as these days get rougher, as the Bible says, the times are going to get colder and rougher, we pray that we can be men of and women of faith that completely trust in you. Thank you, Father, so much for what you do and what you already done for us. Help us to remain faithful towards the very end. We can't wait to see you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.